With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, my name is Gary Mansfield, and this is the Ministry of Arts podcast, where each week I'll be speaking to a different artist. Now let's begin by bagging these bongos. Hello, and welcome to episode 170 of the Ministry of Arts podcast. And as ever, first of all, thank you to all of our Patreon supporters, without whom we would not be able to produce this podcast, because this podcast is funded by the listener. And if you like what you hear, and you can afford the price of a cup of coffee every month, just go over to the Ministry of Arts Instagram profile. You'll find a Linktree drop-down box, which will direct you to the Patreon page. And if that's not for you, that's absolutely fine, because this content is free for everyone. This podcast is being released on Monday, the 4th of April. And on the 7th of April, Roy's Art Fair returns to the Truman Brewery just off Brick Lane. Now, the tagline of this podcast is possibly the world's most inclusive art podcast. Well, if we wear that crown in the art podcast world, Roy's Art Fair definitely holds that crown in the art fair world. Very probably because it's run by artists. The founder, Roy Tyson, aka Roy's People, appeared on here about 18 months ago. And likewise, the art fair's manager, Will Claridge, about a year ago. So inclusivity is pretty much in its DNA. Well, the Ministry of Arts and Roy's Art Fair have been talking about collaboration for quite some time. And I'm really excited to say that that is happening at this show between Thursday the 7th and Sunday the 10th of April. So Roy's Art Fair has given the Ministry of Arts a space to promote the podcast. And while we're there, we'll be releasing a couple of podcasts, today's episode being one of them. We'll also be recording live at the Art Fair. We'll be chatting to its artists and visitors alike. And for a couple of times each day, we're going to be taking over Roy's Art Fair's Instagram and doing a few Instagram lives, so everyone can have a little feel of just how much of a buzz there is at Roy's Art Fair. And Roy's Art Fair also collaborate with Own Art. And if you don't know Own Art, they're an organisation that provides interest-free credit on the purchase of original artworks, so you can spread the cost of that artwork over several instalments at absolutely no extra cost. Don't get much better than that, right? Oh, and you know what I said earlier about Roy's Art Fair being inclusive? Unlike most other art fairs, there's no entry cost. It's free. So there's over 80 artists, great artwork. You can purchase it via Own Art. It's free to get in. And we're going to be there. What reason is there not to go? So that's Roy's Art Fair, the 7th to the 10th of April, at the Truman Brewery, just off Brick Lane. which means you can also grab yourself a Baigle on the way home. And although entry is free, you do have to order a ticket. That can be done at roysartfair.com or follow the link on their Instagram profile, which goes by the same name, Roy's Art Fair. So hopefully we'll see you there. But back to today's episode. I'm taking you to meet Lynn and Ian from Hippo Screen Printers. As well as Lynn and Ian creating work under their own name, as Hippo Screen Printers, they produce prints for dozens and dozens, if not hundreds of artists, including myself. So when I want to have prints made of an original artwork, I haven't got the facilities to do that. So Hippo does it for me. And as I said just now, that's a service used by many an artist. And Hippos have featured at Roy's Art Fair since the beginning. And they often do a live collaboration with another artist, this year being no exception. But to hear more about that and Hippo themselves, come and join me when I went to visit Lynn and Ian up at Hippo Screen Printers. Ease into this podcast where I mention that I'm with Ian and Lynn from Hippo Screen Printers. Good morning.
Morning.
I have seven questions that I ask each guest.
Yeah, we'll probably just talk over each other.
How would you, how would you explain what you do to someone that doesn't know your work?
Right, okay, shall I start?
You start.
Screen printing, basically, is what we do, and always been a screen printer, almost as long as I can remember. I'm a screen printer in my own work. It's a way of reproducing somebody's images into an edition of prints. So a lot of what we do is about getting people an edition of prints that they can sell at art fairs, for example, like we've just been talking about, or for themselves. Where obviously, if you're a painter, you have one painting. Once that painting's sold, you do another one.
Yeah.
If people are sort of, getting a bit popular and people want their work, so screen prints are a handmade print. So it's not really a reproduction. It's a handmade print in itself, but as a version of their original artwork.
How long have you been screen printing yourself?
Straight from school, I went and did my foundation in art. I'd done a tiny bit of screen printing at school in sixth form, but went off to do my foundation and just fell in love with the print room, really. The screen printing, etching actually, was what I fell in love with first.
Nice.
Just those beautiful old Victorian presses and all that sort of thing. And the smell of ink. But so I've been doing it, well, I'm not going to tell you for how long, but a long time.
giving
stuff away, I don't want to give away. But yeah, a long time. But we've been doing it as a job, I guess, a profession, here in this premises since 2009.
Yeah, before that we were screen printing pub signs.
Yeah, the thing about screen printing that we now print for artists mainly, but it's traditionally been used as an industrial process as well. And we started off working with Ian's brother, who was a sign writer, and wanted to speed up the process of the hand sign written pub signs.
Yeah. And when was that?
Stratford. Nice. Forest Gate. Yeah. When we started on it.
Yeah, we moved from
moved around a bit.
Yeah, moved from sort of back of the houses in Forest Gate to a much more like 4,000 square feet in. Well, I think it's 5,000 square feet in Stratford, which is now a block of flats.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. So is everything that you have the industrial in Stratford.
Well, we had to get out of there when the Olympics happened, much like everybody else.
Yeah. So it's a good move to where you are now. So if you could just explain to where you are at the moment.
I mean, 2009, that's when a lot of people, breweries and pub companies, just stopped all their work. And we had 8 staff, so everyone had to go.
Was that pubs across the board or just in your company?
Well, we worked for three different companies. Wetherspoons, Mitchells and Butler, and Young's.
Wow. And what was it that made them all stop? Was it something
It was the financial crash.
Oh, of course, okay.
So they have all their money wrapped up in property, and once the property price crashed, they had no money for refurbishments, new projects, or anything like that. and we just
and on top we of were that, finished. The pub industry has fallen on its arse over the last 10 years.
Yeah, that with no smoking. We used to make a good living out of sending no smoking signs to Wetherspoons. Well, that went in 2007, so it was kind of the writing was on the wall for that. So, but the thing we used to do set us out against the others were we used to do it in the old fashioned way. We'd be painting stuff, you know. Things were hand painted. A lot of things were still handwritten. Yes, we used a bit more cream and a little less gold leaf, but things were still traditional right until about 2007, 2008.
Because the sign writing dropped right off, didn't it? And now it's making a bit of a re-emergence as a craft,
really. Yeah, it's
An art form, I would say. It's an art form put on people's walls now rather than on the front of buildings, isn't it?
Yeah, but there was a resistance thing with like some of the Nicholson's pubs you've got in centre of London and that for having gold leaf and things. And Wetherspoons for a long time had a no cut vinyl rule. You know, so we, you know, along with his no music and stuff like that, he don't cut vinyls on his sign. So a lot of them were handwritten, or when we took over, that's when we were screen printing them. We devised a sort of a way of doing one-off screen printing for everything. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, standard, a little bit of standardisation.
Was you more directed into the artist's printing through necessity or want or
no? That's what I always wanted to do.
Yeah, Lynn's dream.
Yeah, it did sound like when you was
I
set up the screen printing within that company, and in the evenings I was looking for and printing for artists.
Yeah.
So trying to get that off the ground, luckily. So when everything ended with the signage and everything, we had a handful of artist customers, and we headed out into Essex to find a premises where we could do the screen printing.
Yeah.
Because anything any closer to London was like unaffordable.
Yeah.
So we found this place on a farm near Chelmsford, easy to get to from home and everything on the main road and that. And it was perfect. It was ideal. And we had just that quarter of the end of the building at that point.
Yeah, because it's just a mile off the A12, isn't it?
Yeah, we're very near the A12. There's no public transport, unfortunately, but we're not far from Chelmsford, a couple of miles from Chelmsford and whatever. And we live in Ilford, so we drive to and fro every day. But it's really nice out here. It's lovely, and it's not too expensive. So we
you've got here?
Well, we expanded, you see. We had that quarter of the building, which is...
That's 900. This is 900. We've got 1,800 over there. And 600 across the field. Square feet.
So that. So we started off in that 900.
Farm building before
chicken sheds.
Well, in the 70s, I think in the 70s they were chicken shed.
Yeah,
there've been no chickens in here for.
They've had other businesses in for a few years.
Storage.
Well, there's another. There's a separate business in this end, and that's the second building next door where we've got our artist studios. Another company owned that, so we spent the first sort of 8 years or something just in that small space there. We started to fill it up and couldn't work in there very well anymore. And when this other company left or said they were going to leave, the landlord approached us and said, do you want, you know,
and we snapped
it up without much of a plan. But so now we've got four times the space that we had before. So another thing that we'd kind of wanted to do for a long time was to get some other artists around us. So we decided to convert that building into studios.
So the building in question is the same size.
Exactly the same as this. It's identical to this, just next door there. So we've put in six. We've partitioned it into six artist studios, which are currently all full, which is amazing. Yeah, and we've got some brilliant artists in there. And you know, we've got a sort of this little community we've built around us, you know, trying to get some artists around
COVID
us.
COVID put the brakes on a little bit, didn't it? But
well, unfortunately, we finished doing all the converting all the buildings like just before COVID, basically. So we'd spent all the money and done all the work, and then suddenly we couldn't put on classes, and you know, but we actually gained several artists who just found they couldn't work at home through the COVID thing, being stuck indoors, and they just needed a space, and the spaces we've got are all private, lockable, so people could come in, get themselves a space to work away from home and be away from other people as well during the lockdown and everything. So it just sort of worked out okay, really.
You said earlier that it was a bit of a leap going from the commercial side and then starting up with artists, and you'd worked with, as you said, half a dozen or so.
Mm.
But in the art world, if you've got a good reputation, that's not a bad thing, is it?
Oh, it's, well, that's been the whole thing for us. We don't really advertise very much, and every artist we've picked up puts our word, you know, puts our name out there when they speak to other artists, and it's grown like that. It's grown totally from word of mouth, really, which is amazing. You know,
well, I was with as I was mentioning before, I was with an artist last night who mentioned about his screen printing.
Mm.
And he had a company doing his, and he found it sort of very expensive.
Mm.
And I put your name forward to them last night.
Yeah, thank you. Well, and that's how it's been working, and that's, you know, that you can't beat that, can you, really? Because that is your reputation, and if people are recommending you and putting your name forward, then they must be happy with what we're doing, mustn't they?
And a lot of that is obviously down to not having to pay extortionate rents to a landlord.
Obviously, that helps.
The landlord here has been... He's been brilliant with us.
Yeah, he has.
Absolutely
been brilliant.
Yeah.
It's a bit hard with all these chickens running around. Isn't it? Chicken feathers.
Don't wake them up. They'll make a noise.
It's the spirits. It's still here.
Yeah.
When was both of your first interest in art?
Well, I know my first memory was being about five, like very first at school, and in drawing classes, sort of knowing that my drawings were much better than everyone else's. It sounds really arrogant, but, you know, I remember drawing one of those shells that's got the shiny abalone or something and shiny inside, and I was doing it all in nice, like, pencil colours and things, and everyone else was sort of drawing a circle. So that was my first interest, and then that was kind of encouraged by my mum, who did a bit of art in her earlier years and used to let me stay up late to do drawing with her. So we'd sit up late and draw each other. So that kind of like got it started at a very early age. And then always that's just been the only thing I've ever wanted to do, really, to be honest. So it's always been what I've done. If it was a hobby, it's always been a hobby. The fact that it's now a job is just amazing, really, that I'm still doing art, really, so in various ways.
I can imagine it. I can just imagine you working in a commercial place with the more aesthetic side of it, just eating away.
Yeah, you know, yeah, definitely.
That it was sort of in arm's reach, but not quite.
Well, I made it happen because of that. And it's just, well, I partly made it happen and circumstances as well. But yeah, that was it. Yeah, being an artist anyway.
Yeah.
You know, obviously you have to earn a living, don't you?
Yeah,
but,
of course.
You know, yeah, like...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So having it eating away what you really wanted to do, it was close because, you know, I had all the equipment there and all of that was all there. So I started putting it to use, you know.
And it must be nice now seeing... I mean, you've got a lot of big named artists who use you here. It must be nice to see their work going out, knowing that it was founded here, you know.
Well, that we've had a part in it, that we've had a part in helping them to create it, and hopefully, you know, they go on and make a success out of it. You know, it's, I mean, yeah, we've got some well known artists, I suppose, we've worked with, but also a lot of unknown and a lot who hoping to be well known and all that, you know.
Yeah. Are you able to mention any of the names?
Yeah, I can mention some names I can and some I can't. Some people that's like to keep right, it, yeah. Keep their, well, so I've got one artist who calls me their secret weapon. But I'm not allowed to tell anyone.
That's a perfect thing. Yeah, I wouldn't even want to know who that was.
No, I can't tell you. But, well, I think you mentioned him earlier. Riker is quite happy to be mentioned. And I've worked with Ryan, actually, we worked with all those years ago when we were making signs.
Yeah.
We employed him and now he employs me, I suppose. But well, he's kept us busy for years.
Working with you is what made Ryan want to become an artist anyway, isn't he? Wanted a...
I think he had it in him as well. Well, he certainly had it in him because he was out at college when we first met him.
Yeah.
And he was making models and...
Ryan just says hello, by the way.
Oh, was that his phone? Right? Yeah.
Tell him shush, we're on the radio. Okay, yeah.
Some of the artists like a bit of discretion and others don't. And yeah, Riker doesn't do discretion, does
quite
he?
Quite happy to be advertised. there's a lot of people who are happy to, you know, like I said, with galleries, we've done a lot of work with Basement Gallery, BSMT Gallery, and they've been brilliant. Well, there's Turner Barnes Gallery in Chelmsford here, local one. You probably know Sue, don't you?
Yeah.
But I've done work for her. There's a gallery in Norwich, which is Ian's hometown, where we met, called DNA Gallery. Alex, who works there, have done lots of work for him. So,
I've noticed there's been a little bit of not quite an exodus, but a lot of people are moving up to Norwich and Norfolk from here, aren't they?
It's always been a creative place, Norwich. Yeah. It's surprising.
It's and a I think city.
It's expanding out to Yarmouth, it seems. I've heard there's lots of things going on. Whatever.
We've pondered on it ourselves,
whether we can
up
keep
sticks
this
at some point. But currently we still love London. Every time we think we should move out to the countryside like everyone does, but we love being in London because the galleries and the art and everything around you all the time. I don't think we could do without that, to be honest.
Yeah, it's fine moving out somewhere else, but if you haven't got something that's so cultural, multicultural as London, it's a hard thing, isn't it? You do art fairs as well.
Yes.
You do Roy's, doing live at Roy's as well.
Yeah, we've been doing Roy's since the beginning.
Since his first one, yeah.
Yeah, I think Ian did the first one on his own with his art, as his wallpapers and things. And then since then, we've done them as Hippo. And it was only COVID that stopped us doing the live. Well, stopped everything, didn't it? Stopped the art fair itself. But we've always tried to do some live screen printing. So we haven't done that now for 2 years with Roy. And this time in April, coming up a couple of weeks' time, we're back to doing the live screen printing. So exciting.
So what can people expect who are going to Roy's? But what is it you'll be doing specifically?
Well, we're doing an exclusive print release with an artist.
Nice.
So that print will be printed live at the fair in front of people. The artist will be there signing and, you know, talking to people, signing the prints, so anyone who wants to purchase. Yeah, we're working with Perspicere. He's quite well known because the Roy's Art Fair is at Truman Brewery in Brick Lane.
Yeah.
Perspicere puts work up on the street all around that area, Shoreditch and everywhere around there. You might have seen them, circular pieces which are made of made out of string, basically. They're mostly cotton thread. Mostly portrait type work, but done by crisscrossing, overlapping these threads over and over and to create this image out of black
it's
thread.
Not on pins, is it, around the edge?
Yeah,
yeah, I know the one.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, he pins around the edge, and somehow, I don't know how, but he crisscrosses the thread to form an image. And so we're going to create a screen print. We've had one of his images photographed from that. I can create a screen print. So we're going to print those and release them at Roy's in April. So.
Oh, that's got to be quite nice for the visitor to be able to see their artwork.
I think he's may well be doing some live.
Yeah, I think he's going to do a live piece
productions.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah, people really love it actually to see how it's done, because I guess when you do something, you know it inside out, don't you? But other people don't necessarily understand how screen prints are created or how it works. So,
well, I'm aware that screen printing can be very addictive because there's two people that I know who have become pretty well known in the screen printing world who wanted to try it and it has just taken over their lives, being Real Hackney Dave Heath Kane.
Oh, yeah.
So they both sort of wanted to get into it, and now they're quite prolific.
We know Heath. We know Hackney Dave as well. We know both, and
It can be a really fun and experimental thing to do when you print for yourselves.
Yeah,
you're doing your own work. You anything goes, you know. And there are various different techniques that you can apply to anything. It just build up your layers. Yeah.
Mm.
It's a slightly different world when you're printing somebody else's work.
Yeah,
where you've got to entertain what they envision.
Yeah, you've got their boundaries to stay within, haven't you?
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to an artist yesterday who is a printer, not necessarily a screen printer. He tears off paper and prints that, and then darker and darker and darker, so it looks like a sort of mountainous mountainscape, you know. What you was just saying about doing what you like in your own practice, he was saying last night that he was using paper to just sort of like clean up the ink. And he's thrown it to one side, and then he just pressed these bits of more or less rag, you know, and all of a sudden he's found these new bits of artwork that really work, you know, and it's just this.
I do that all the time. I put aside bits of old newsprint that I've put underneath the screen when you're washing it, and you just get this sort of like ghost image appear, or even that I put paper on the table where I mix my inks and everything. So you end up with this piece of paper that's got dribbles and spots and spat. And I just save them. I wouldn't call that a finished piece, but it's certainly a background or something for something to
come. We still have painty boards of MDF from our sign making days. Because they make great substrate for your screen printing.
Brilliant.
You know, some of Lynn's greatest works were on the old old painty boards from back then, you know, because they're all kind of covered in oil-based paints.
I like the history that's already on those things that, you know, you just sort of built up over the years. They hold all that time within them sort of thing, and you know.
You're saying you live screen printing at Roy's. Are you doing that physically?
Yeah, so the first day, the Thursday, which is the private view, is just open in the evening.
Yeah.
Which is when we'll be printing live. The artist will be there. We'll release the print for sale. We're going to, obviously, in the social media, in the build-up, so people see the image beforehand and that sort of thing. But and then the rest of the fair, I think it's Friday 3 till 10, and then all weekend, we'll be printing at times, you know, at certain times. We'll publicise that at some point. It's not, we won't be non-stop screen printing because we'd end up with an addition of a million or something.
But will you be there outside of those times for people to come and...
Oh yeah, we'll be there the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll be there the whole time. The prints will be available to sell, and the screen printing apparatus will be there so people can have a look and we can show them how it works and that sort of thing.
Yeah, well, there'll be times where we'll have other little projects going as well, I'd imagine, wouldn't we? We usually have a little something going on.
Something in mind. And at other times I'll be printing some of Ian's work. I mean, it's nice to have things going on because people like to see it.
Yeah.
And, you know, you don't want to be just sitting there, do you? So we might as well do some printing while we're there.
Of course. Yeah, so that is from the 7th to the 10th of April.
Yeah.
The first day being a Thursday that you said is...
Just the evening.
If anyone wants to know the times, they can go on to Roy's website. Instagram or website.
That's it.
But you're normally over in a corner because you take up quite a bit of room, aren't you? So
it gives us a nice big space.
Well, I don't think you would be hard to find, will you?
Yeah, well, the nice thing about Roy's actually is they're not quite... Some other art fairs are quite sort of white wall and regular hangs and that type of thing. Roy's can be a bit more loose than that.
Yeah.
Because just the way people hang their work can be a bit more interesting, and it's all, you know, it's the individual artists selling and exhibiting their own work. So
I mean, a lot of the art fairs like to sort of try and promote the inclusivity of the viewer and the artist, but I don't think there's any doubt in that Roy's is probably the most inclusive, is it?
I think it is very much so. Yeah, Roy likes to have, the fair likes to have, things that people can join in with. They have like the doodle wall, and they've had all sorts of things. Artists actually painting in the venue, you know, while the fair is on. Hopefully with Perspicere actually creating pieces out of his thread.
Yeah.
There's us, you know, doing our screen printing. He's had all sorts. He had a letterpress guy.
Yeah.
1 year, and there'll be a lot to sort of not just look at, but you know, join in with, yeah. and find things out and see things you don't see in other fairs. You know,
we'll be there recording live at some point anyway, so we'll pop over and sort of shove a mic in your face when you're not too busy. To see how you're getting on.
That'd be brilliant. Yeah, that'd be really good.
Yeah, we look forward to seeing you there. Where can people find Hippo? Be it on website or social media?
Yeah, well, we've got a website, which is hipposcreenprinters.com. Fairly easy to remember. Instagram is hippo_screenprinters. We're on Twitter, but I'm not massively into Twitter, so it doesn't get updated very often. Facebook is just hipposcreenprinters. I think that's it.
If we just have a quick couple of minutes on the Essex Print Studio, which is the building next door that is part of Hippo or a subsidiary of Hippo. Mm. You've already mentioned that you've got 6 studio spaces there. Is there anything else going on there other than the print studios?
Yes, same as everything else. COVID put a stop to everything, and we're just trying to start things back up again. We were doing quite a lot of classes, printmaking classes, workshops, that type of thing, which we haven't managed to get going again yet. But we're planning exhibitions. We're going to have open studios.
Nice.
I'm going to start a couple of little classes because I really want to do some life drawing. So I'm going to get some life drawing classes up and running in there. And anything else that we feel like doing, really. The 6 studios are the main part of the building, but we've got a nice big sort of communal area in the middle, which is great for meetings. We've had films projected onto the wall. Classes and things, obviously, as and when they come back into being.
Yeah, we had interviews and photo shoots and things going on in there.
Yeah,
which is
artists having themselves interviewed and.
But it's open for hire if anyone wants to put their own workshops on. It's in the near future where we'll have a teacher coming in teaching a small class of children, things like that. So.
So it's going to be a sort of cultural hub, as it were.
That's the aim. Yeah, good. That is the aim.
Trying to make a little community out here and keep our artists happy next door with lots of inspirational things.
Well, that's what I was about to say, because most artists are solitary. When you've got other artists around you, even if it's meeting at the kettle, if you like, there's that sort of a chat about your work. It can bloody change the direction of your work in an afternoon, can't it? You know.
Yeah.
Well, there's one artist who, unfortunately, he's just left the studio, but he, you know, he's just fairly recently gone out as a full time artist, given up his job and everything, gone as a full time artist, and he says that it was speaking to us when he first moved in here about our journey when we sort of set this up and everything that. Encouraged him to do that. So it's funny, really, because when we first opened the studios, I really wanted to get printmakers in because of what we do in here, and thinking, well, that makes sense to have printmakers. Mm. There's a dog. Sorry, we don't have dogs around here. the idea in my head was that we would get printmakers because we were sort of offering that they could come and work in here, and they could come and use our equipment and that kind of thing. It didn't really happen like that. You know, we've ended up more with... Well, we've got a couple of painters, photographer, a graphic designer. So, you know, it's taken its own course, but it's good.
And quite often we're here for even as simple... You know what artists are like. You know, they'll turn up, want to borrow me van. You know.
Give us a lift into London.
Nick all me packaging materials. You know, we got some tape.
Yeah, because it's the fairies who deliver that for free, isn't it? Yeah, all of that stuff. Brilliant. All right, well, I'll see you at Roy's on Thursday the 7th until Sunday the 10th. And, yeah, hope you have a great time.
Brilliant. Lovely to see you, Gary. Thank you very much for that.
Well, hope you enjoyed that episode of the Ministry of Arts podcast. If you're unable to support us on Patreon, leaving a review on whichever platform you listen to this podcast really does help us get noticed and anyone else looking for an art podcast, or even giving us a positive shout out on your social media. Anything is appreciated, but either way, thanks for listening, and until next week, ta-da.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.